was her name that I asked directly to acquire. I was kind of just throwing it out when I was reading it. And I thought, we're going to have a long time. So, thank you, Stan, for organizing our choir. And thank you to our choir for all your efforts and your practices and allowing us to enjoy the special music that you presented to come on our behalf on this very special holy day. I checked with this alarm at the end of service this morning that I had held up as a tube. But then I was looking for it, it's not the typical scripture that I don't think I used. It worked out well. What are we waiting for? And God, we're waiting and preparing. And I'm going to probably focus on the second half of that statement. The Feast of Trumpets depends on the day when Christ returns to this earth. To begin the process of fixing everything that's wrong in this world today. To set up a government that will address all the problems that you and I might face. And as we've heard in the prophet said already today, we should be defined something that Muslims and showers responsibility that we will have to be a part of that when Christ returns. It's not something Christ will do alone. Matthew 24, we have here several times already today. Let's go there again in verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. There's a word beginning in Matthew 24, verse 3, when the disciples asked for a sign of things to come. We're going to towards the end of the chapter, midway through verse 30. Because notice how Jesus Christ describes this future event. The Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and the whole tribe of the earth will mourn. They will not mourn because they don't want to see this in heaven. But they will mourn and will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together the blacks from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. The word there for glory in verse 30 is doctrine. Dignity, glory, honor, praise, worship. He will return power and great glory and gather his elect. This day, the Feast of Trumpets pictures a time when no longer have good glory. Some of the progressive ideologies that are happening around us every day when we go out in the news. And the ideology that is slowly, maybe not so slowly, turning us basically a full blown secular humanist society devoid of God completely. They remove God from their lives, they remove the laws of God, and every aspect of their lives. And as a result, they've also our blessings, our protections that are afforded from people that are obedient to God. The Christian op-ed piece in November 2017 by Dr. Michael Brown was titled, Why So Much Hatred Toward Christians? And I'll give you an explanation that I'll hit on you briefly. There's increasing palpable hostility towards the gospel in some quarters in America, and can easily be explained. First, the natural fruit of the harsh and condescending new atheism continues to poison every hearts and mind that is them. God has had some to be rejected, he can be mocked and ridiculed as are his followers. Second, hatred is a result of a culture war in which conservative Christians are conflicted because of their opposition to LGBT activism and abortion. Bible-believing Christians are commonly compared to ISIS. Accused of wanting to establish a Taliban type theocracy, and they're called bigots and haters and Nazis. If you've been paying attention to the news, this is what we've seen. This happened more than 2 years ago. However, many developed evangelical Christians in particular are looking down on President Trump as if we're responsible for or in support of every statement he makes or his standing takes. To the extent that he is divisive, we are playing for the shortcomings. And just as many on the right, and just as many on the right despise Obama, many on the left despise President Trump. And as they despise him, they also despise us. And the fourth thing is this: darkness hates the light. And this is an age old battle that will continue until Jesus Christ returns. And the extent that we stand for purity and biblical morality, and to the extent that we preach Jesus as the only true way to God, we will be mocked and we will be scorned. And he says, as the way has always been, as the way it will always be, and as when we must not deceive ourselves in terms of the culture climate of America. Hostility against us is reaching a crescendo, and things could get even uglier than days ahead. But in September 2017, I would submit to you things are getting uglier each and every day. And the first day, preachers are coming, all mocking, all the hostility is going to be finally put to end. Our Savior is going to put an end to it. And I think as Mr. Showers articulated so well this morning, God looks down on the yearns for his people who are suffering through all this, knowing that one day we will put an end to this, but right now you need to just endure. Notice the first Peter over 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. No one give up any strange concern with every trial to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are given the Christ's sufferings. And when his glory and his reward again is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are members of the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and the power rests upon you. On their part of his blessing, but on your part, he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, and evildoer, or as a busybody or gossip, this is another way to translate that, in other people's matters. And if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. There's the word again. The time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18, how about the righteous? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, what will the ungodly and the spirit fear? Therefore, let those who suffer, according to the will of God, commit their souls to Him, and doing good is your faithful creator. You see this word glory used throughout the campus. It's not the epistle from 2 Peter chapter 3, which will be erased in this second letter. See that right in the opening, as things get uglier and uglier, we have got to be prepared to suffer. The tables seek you out. They will mock, they will ridicule, they will scorn. You know, where is your Savior? Why is the CD20 is coming? What's the hang up? And the more bolder it becomes, because as we know, there's this concept out there that they stand and they laugh as if they can get away with it. They don't have an eternal perspective. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, and both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words spoken before by all the prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And they notice the promise of this coming. It says the prophets must be all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Sounds a lot like what we're living today, as they mock and ridicule all forms of religion. But finally, they hope to be that by the word of God, heaven or all the earth, standing on water, in the deep water, he's talking about the verse of the Bible. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as someone counts slackness. His promise is coming. Jesus Christ will return. The whole delay, I often remind myself, maybe the whole delay is his waiting for Christ to come. Maybe we're not ready yet. We're always waiting for that, but we're not ready yet. This is the way we think about it. Maybe we're the whole of them. I don't know. But he's not the fact that somebody has promised that some comes back to us. He is always suffering towards us. Now, knowing that anyone loves, he errs. But it also is done to repentance. Verse 10, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and this heaven will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with burning heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Here we see a standing there, a fair play, and the return of Jesus Christ is going to come like a thief in the night. The day and hour and time that nobody knows. Peter was passing along, I think the very words of this evening from Jesus himself over in Matthew 24. We're going to go back there. These words came directly from the one who would return in Matthew 24. Verse 3, standing among all his disciples, standing and tell this woman, these things, and the end of the day, Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one sees you. First one again, don't be deceived. The man will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and deceive me. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The days will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Your mind is not be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't become upset or anxious. Long time fence. Verse 9, none of them will be able to do it. Let me say, kill it. Okay, I'm out of troubles. I'm out of troubles. Okay. But that's what he says. You'll be hated by all nations in my name's sake, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Well, that's some message, chapter 7 is message. How do we stand in the presence of Jesus Christ? Forget it all. Maybe you've heard it, are you standing there, are you standing there? I don't know, it'll be there for a day. I don't know about God, but I'm going to do it for this guy. I'm going to be here all the time. I'm not standing next to this guy. This is what we do. They'll hate one another. There are many false prophets. One will rise and deceive many. Because all of this will follow. All of them will grow cold. And then he tells us, verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Salvation belongs to those who will endure to the very end. Not almost the very end. May thy will not be come over. No. Endure to the very end. Not my verse 29. Abraham, surely some of the days of the sun will be dark, the moon will not be this light. The stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and the sun of the sun of man will appear to them. Now all the planets of the earth will mourn. They will see the sun of man coming on the clouds of heaven, the power of great glory, and he will sit in danger from the quake, sound of a trumpet. Just like that, Cole. Just like that. Our time is up. No more time. No more time to prepare yourself. Your time is up. He's back. His last thing we don't think about this day. And we'll gather together and reflect before we end. One end of heaven to the other. Time is up. Our time here is over. No more time. For that time, we are awake. With this woman, with this dead pictures, that time is up. You're in, or you're out. You're over the bridegroom of 10 rooms. You're ready, you're not ready. No more time for excuses. No more getting around to do it tomorrow, whatever it happens to be. Any more time for prayer. Any more time for Bible study. Whatever it is. No more time. Time's up. End of time. Christ is coming up. No more time to reconcile differences. This room shall touch on it as well. No more time to reconcile differences. Evil offenses and hurts. No more time to push. Whatever ideologies you're going to have, no more time for fill in the blank. Because we don't have time. Time is up. So if we don't want to take a step back, sort of from the today and what it means in the future, consider what it means to us today. very grateful today for what you did today. Prepare this sermon a purpose for us today. A purpose for us today. Matthew 24, verse 36. And one of them, we have passages in the Bible that can cause confusion, but this is not one of them. Nothing they know or no one knows that makes the angels in heaven with my Father only. Does it get any more clear than that? Nobody knows. And yet, as clear as that is, there's no one in the room of people who are trying to calibrate their lips and trying to grace return. So, I'm going to spend some of this time working on their calculations and predictions and terms and whatever. They never really stop and get around to preparing themselves for when that day actually comes. And that's the whole point. I worry about why it is. Why is not the word of the when it is. That's the key. And that we can work on. Calculating, predicting, being ready for it is something we can do. When this day comes about, we want to hear the words that are recorded in Matthew 25. We're going to go there. I touched on it in the sermon. The sermon I gave on the parable of the talents. We talked about fairness. Remember the woman who had a woman who had a woman who doubled what they had. And the worker who sent them was well done, good and faithful servant. He was faithful to few things. Some of you many things, and the other believers more. Those are the words we're going to hear. But at that moment, in that circumstance, if we're still going at it, or whatever it is, too late. It's too late. Because at that point, he's going to gather the elect. And we may or may not be part of that. So we're going to look at the second Peter. We're going to go with the top of verse 10, so that's the second Peter 3. Because through all of the scripture, because there's lots of words of encouragement that we can do. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 11. Therefore, so tell me, since we dissolve all manner of purposes on duty and holy conduct and godliness, looking for an amazing coming of the day of God, because of which matters will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt in fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You see, there again, he emphasizes it again, what can we do? Well, since all these things are going to happen, what manner of persons have you become, or are you becoming, or striving to be? What manner of persons are we being? You know, sometimes we can get stressed out when we think about how prepared, or maybe unprepared we are for the kind of these ways. I tend to remember that I'm not prepared people, you know. Some people get down on this whole maybe I haven't got done. I'm always focused on what I haven't got done. You know, what I have. It's just always better when I'm one of those. What's done is done, so I'm going to make kind of thing. I'm just not to enjoy it, just move on. But we can get stressed out at times when we think about it. I hope we've grown enough. Have we grown enough? What is enough? Have we grown at all? Have we grown at all? We ask ourselves these questions. What more can I do? What more can I do? Now that I'm done creating and studying and working on services or whatever it is, you find yourself stuck. Sometimes, you know, I remind myself that I can force myself through, you know, I'll stay up and let them say, like, why are you doing this? And, you know, sometimes you're doing it. Stop me. I'm going to stop. Put it aside. Pray about it. Don't just take my mind off of it. And it's amazing how many times you come back and all of a sudden things just open up. What more can I do? We all want to be ready for that day when Jesus Christ returns, but this is what I say. Ready or not, here we go. Ready or not. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning coming for each one of us as well. And I was thinking about this a few times in my life where I felt unprepared. I walked into a classroom and teach a million talk once again, and I had that, of like, God, it was an exam, or I procrastinated the boring lecture after it was an exam. Sometimes we can procrastinate, thinking we have more time, putting around to it, whatever it is, tomorrow. Well, maybe that's the deal. I've got pieces coming up, but we'll get on that after the piece, because a lot of going on here before we do the piece. Now, in some regards, I think I've had conversations with people that say, hey, this is the last full of piece for a fresh return, so we know it's not going to happen tomorrow. Okay? The challenge for us is to be aware of how we're living our life, walking the walk, not just talking the talk. You know, some years ago, I quit going to these websites that are out there, various, I don't know what they are, a couple of them have certain bad groups. They're just so intense. You think about everything going on in church at all. They rate that wall constantly. I personally call them the National Enquirer of the Churches because they're all about gossip. That's all they are. It's just stuff that people can add to my website. I can make money by how many people show up on my website. I don't know if people know that, but websites get paid by how many people show up there. So you show up and move on. It's not like that. Even if it's 2 cents, you get 50,000 people or a million people come to your site. You're going to make a few dollars. I don't know, so I remember some time ago, and it's probably still going on. Of course, I know the situation, first-hand personal experience, they were told to say there was an absolute lie on the site. Why not? Of course, they asked, because I know first-hand was lying. But I'm not even getting engaged in it, because that's when I don't have time to argue it, right? If you want to go up and speak lies, speak lies. But again, it was most sad, and it's funny, but I'm recording the person walking in and not talking in. There was a couple hundred people, each had their own site, they spent half their time degrading one another over. Well, he had spent his site, he's not going to buy more than I, because this was going to be like, I'm watching these two guys, they both claim to be, whatever, they don't even come to my hand, they're just tearing each other apart. How about me on the internet? And we thought, this is sad. Because they're not blocking it. Oh, yeah, they can spout off and quote this and quote that. There's no love, no patience, it's just an attack. We don't want to be that way. We want to live it. There are times when we come around on the Sabbath and the whole days and the messages, the whole point of it is to take something and say, and we've heard in multiple opening prayers, we already know what we're praying at this verse, what they claim from us. If we don't apply our lives, we learn. Ever since it's amazing how long at the end of the service you can talk to multiple people and each means something different. One of the things that's even most amazing when somebody comes and says, oh, I just spoke to a point about, you know, he's mind-blowing. But somehow God through His Spirit spoke to them in something that is inspiring to me. Because it's not about me, it's about until we present the Word of God in a way that inspires people to apply their lives. Those are what we do. It doesn't mean that I am inspired by them. I never knew something they did, but somehow God made it go through. That is what we ask for in the opening prayer. And each person will hear what God needs them to hear. And so again, back to this notion of the day and the hour for His return. Okay, even if we do it, we're not going to do the hour, you can be dead tomorrow, and yesterday. So if you're not by yourself today, and I'm not worth it. Today, right now, today. Christ, God, consider me worthy. And if you have deficiencies, and that's the ministry that you work on. And if you just work on, you know, it is long suffering for us, not going to any of us would perish. And so we wait for us to get out of order. God, how much He loves us. And they said, you know, God, how much He's making a blind. And that's what He's waiting for. Maybe He's working, He's not getting up, but He's not starting yet. If I hold it so much, I'm going to live longer. I'm no longer the priesthood that I've done already. I feel like something each one of us to think about that. We wish we had more time if the date of this picture is coming tomorrow. Would you wish you had more time? It was Matthew 22, Matthew 22 is one of the kingdom is like parables. Well, these parables, these kingdom of light parables give us clues and how to conduct ourselves. Oftentimes, these parables have a primary lesson, and sometimes we miss maybe the more subtle messages that's coming through that God is going to use as well. Matthew 22, verse 1. We'll skip through this for the sake of time. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who went to marriage for his son. He found his servants at all posts and went to the wedding, and yet were not willing to come. So again, there are people in the world that God maybe has called, but He's rejected the call. They haven't come. They're not interested. And so again, he said, I know it's not the same challenge for the wedding. You've got to prepare for dinner, or have to be careful of jail while you're already coming to the wedding. They would have said that, but their ways, no matter how far the team is in business school. Let's get on down a little bit. Let's see, there from verse 9, 1-5 raised as many as could find and went to the wedding. So the old servants went out and the line was together, and all the way around the wedding, during the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have my wedding garment. And he said, I'm not going to come in without a wedding garment. He was speechless. The king said, the servant, bind him, and if you take him away, you cast him in outer darkness, and you'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, in this parable here, we see a guest is thrown out for wearing inappropriate clothing. You don't know why he was wearing inappropriate clothing, why he wasn't on the corner of the property. It could have been willful disrespect, but then he just was not knowledgeable. Why did he matter? Why? Matter. He was dressed inappropriately, but he gave them. In this parable, we see a couple of what I call guiding principles and a silver lining. The guiding principles we see here is that, you know, this is what we use in the church for years on a physical level to encourage us to dress up appropriately and come before God, the creator of all things and all the qualification. That's not the only guiding principle we have, and why we the rest of the way we do present our services, we're coming in the presence of God. But the more important one, and we covered this in the sermon some time ago, is the spiritual order that we're coming before God with. Remember that sermon I said, we can work on the spiritual disciplines here itself. So those are the guiding principles we see in here. Why did He show up? Because the program doesn't matter. He was inappropriate, but He gave it. It matter why. But the silver warnings in verse 14, many were called, but few were chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. It's a silver warning when we realize that our call is to respond, but to what he said that we responded. And are we in the idle moment right now, or are we still striving to be, you know, the perfect righteous standard of Jesus Christ? He's out there. That standard, we're going to stand ourselves next to it. And as there be no one, we're going to get called along and prepare ourselves amongst ourselves, no avail, no benefit. And the perfect righteous standard is so far off from us. That's the standard we should just try to draw up here. But it's given to us a sense of overwhelming fear or dread. Unless, of course, you might do anything. We're going to have a little bit of fear into that. But I don't believe in that. I believe most people are trying. To one degree or another are trying and striving to move forward. Just strengthening their relationship with God and Christ. Be more divine in Christ. Be more holistic, unified way. Again, I remember reflecting back on what I said in the sermon message. You know, I always, I'm sure Jesus said, maybe you have a chance of the divisions. I mean, this stuff. Just distractions that just divide, and it's only thing that ever comes from them is division. To what extent are we trying to be, and I touched on that in the announcement, you know, money Bible? If it gets, if it's guilt, if it's perfect money, doing that which God has given me to do, or with the talents, whatever it is, he's given you, you're using it under the best of our ability. But Second Timothy 1 is reminding us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and sound mindedness. So as we go through this, we think about what this data represents and how it applies to us today. We shouldn't be fearful. We should take action. If we don't take action, then maybe we should come pretty fearful. But we have a little time about this, because we're talking about some that their consciences are seen at the point where they think, well, this is don't be fearful, because they don't think they have anything to change in life. That's a whole different category of being. I believe most people are striving to improve in their lives. Go back to 17 and again. But we know how terrible we can sometimes let this overwhelm us. I'm not ready. I need more time. So again, chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we find his promise. We look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be humble to him in peace. It is a perfection. Be found in peace. Without spot and blameless. And consider that. All we suffer the Lord for is salvation. The Greek word is used there to be looking for the new heavens and new earth. The word is looked to watch, to anticipate, to await, to wait in expectation for. He's moving forward and looking for that, to expect that, to be diligent, to be found at peace, to be without spot. And blameless. He goes on, he lists several other things. There's a particular gain. There's also the love of the ball, according to the wisdom given to him. He's written to you, all, and it's also in all his epistles. Speaking of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which come to mind, and unstable people twisted from destruction, as they do also in the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, may love, since you know this beforehand, beware. Lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. That waiting, we heard about it in the sermon message this morning. Steadfast, patient waiting. Lest you also fall from your steadfastness when you operate with the error of the day. But grow in grace and knowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will be the Lord both now and forever. Amen. So we see here, Peter's writing, this is about putting God first in our lives, making him a priority in our lives. We look forward at this day and what it means in the future. There is a pressing responsibility for us today, right now, in our lives, personally. To said, how many prepared for this day? Well, we know of the parable of the bridegroom of the short comments this morning in Matthew 25. One of the verses was too late. And prepared. And the thing I said, the promise of his return is over. The screening lesson that is about preparedness. Doing it in your own life. Preparation has to happen now before what this day represents. Revelation chapter 3, read about the church, Laodicea era, before the church was Laodicea, and certain messages 50 years ago. I'm sure we've all studied it to one degree or another, but I don't think it's an era that in general describes the times in which we live. It doesn't mean that every individual is going to lay out the same, but I think in general terms, that's the era that we're in. Notice how it is described in verse 14, the angel of church way to see on the right, he sings of the event, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning, the grace of God. I know your works. If you're either cold or hot, I can wish you were cold or hot. If you guys are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will punish you out of my mouth. Because you stand a rich people wealthy and need of nothing, and you do not even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I also want you to buy from me gold refined with fire, that you may be rich, and my garments, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyes to have, that you may see. This man is my father, we be in Jesus. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door, and now if any one hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If your name overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also ordained and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has near the near the spirits and the churches. Verse 15 says, I bring your words if you're either cold or hot, I can wish you were cold or hot. And I hate it. Here's the translation. Blessed is he who stays awake. He stays awake. The meaning of that saying for us is to stay awake. To stay awake. To be alert. To look for this day and be watchful. But also patient. But also patient. We're there in the first message. We cannot grow weary in well-doing. The topic that I covered a few weeks ago. We are living in a time that is going to be tougher than ever before. To feel like there are fish swimming upstream against the current of the ideologies of being pushed on our society today. Chapter 8, beginning of verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with itself, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. We are children of heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And there's that word, glorified again. Christ said in the suffering of verse 18, in this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation is here to witness for the revealing of the sons of God. And the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him was subjected it in hope. And because the creation itself also was delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glory and glory of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groans and languishes at birth, pain, and guilt now. Not only that, verse 23, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the easy assumption, redemption of our body. We are saved in his hope. But our hope that is seen is not hope, but why does one still hope for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Again, as we heard in the message this morning, very personal verses. Few are very personal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So this red truth one day will be revealed to all creation. Today, creation is at day. Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 15. As we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of archangel, with the trumpet of God, and all changes right there. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and the dust will shall fall. Always be with the Lord. And the focus is encouraging words, verse 18, therefore comfort my mother with these words. I'm in chapter 5, verse 1, but concerning your times and seasons, brethren, that no one even has your right to you, for you yourselves know perfectly. The day of the Lord is come to the evening night, for when they see peace and safety, and thus destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You know what's coming. That's what he's saying. So that this, you brethren, are not in darkness, so this nation or occasion is a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch, be awake, be alert, and be sober. The Lord sleeps at night, we should take comfort of him. Let us, for out of the day, be sober, for the breastplate of faith and love, and as it cometh the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. You have been called to salvation. It's up to us to do our part in that. But to obtain salvation for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we live with bankruptcy, we shall live together with him. Therefore, we shall have comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Stay and teaching the vision typically a very pivotal pivotal turning point in history. When Jesus Christ returns and the saints are gathered with him to establish the kingdom of God on earth and reign, it pictures the time of those the called and chosen and the faithful will join together with him. What does this day picture for us today? Well, there's an anxious to be looking. Watching and expecting the happens in the earth, said of the way seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, how all other things will be added to you. But they want us to be diligent to be found in peace. In peace. We'll talk about peacemakers as you know, striving to work towards peace, not division. To be without spot and blameless, we remind us to be, and they also remind us to be coached to know his truth, so that we're not caught up in destructive heresies that will lead to our own destruction. Not to be deceived, as we're warned. And remind us to the very end to not fall from our steadfastness, and to grow in the grace